50 is the smallest number that can be written as the sum of two squares in two distinct ways.
So this is the second most momentous writing on an envelope since the Gettysburg Address, right? There's an old joke. It's I had so much Chinese food over the weekend, I had to have a CAT scan. I want everybody in that heat to hold up the L on their forehead right before the race, because that's really what we're talking about here, right?
Welcome to Countless Screaming Argonauts. I'm Max, and my co-host today and always is the fabulous Penguin.
How's it going tonight?
We are just two guys talking to everyone about anything, and this is our fabulous 50th episode.
All right.
We're produced by 8 Beer Sampler Productions for internet consumption, and welcome to 50 there, Penguin.
Thank you very much. I didn't think we'd ever get here. Or I actually had two thoughts. Either we were going to get here like a year later,
or we
would have got here in the second week if we really tried hard enough.
Well, we can't seem to stop podcasting, and so far people are still listening to us, so I guess this is a good thing.
Sure.
But anyway, it's our semi-centennial 50th episode. We don't do the musical interludes, so we're just going to bring up a couple of notes for interesting things associated with the number 50.
Okay, shoot.
The Wikipedia entry for the number 50. 50 is the smallest number that can be written as the sum of two squares in two distinct ways. One squared plus seven squared equals 50. Didn't know that. It's also a harsh odd number, which is some mathematical thing that's too complicated to even bother telling people about.
Uh-huh.
We know all about the anniversary, right? It's the centennial, the silver, the bicentennial, something like that.
Right.
In Kabbalah, there are 50 gates of wisdom and 50 gates of impurity. I'll take the impurity for 50, Alex. But there's two other things that I wanted to mention about the number 50, little things, little nuggets that I dug up. In the year 50, the Romans learn to use soap from the Gauls.
Wow.
How's that for a little known and unimportant fact?
I guess.
And while I was following these links here, and I can't tell you the path that I followed, I think it was the 50 neatest web pages. I found a web page that everybody has to go check out. It's called jacksonpollock.org, and you just get a blank canvas.
Oh, I've seen that, and you can actually do your own Jackson Pollock painting.
Yep.
Yeah, and I've seen that. That's pretty cool.
And I sat here while I was doing my research and just played Jackson Pollock for a while.
There you go. Well, I've got a couple of interesting facts about the number 50.
All right.
We always talk about baseball players.
Yep.
The infamous Steve Balboni.
Yeah. Bye-bye, Balboni.
The number 50, right? Wore the number 50 for the Yankees.
Yeah.
So did Chris Chambliss for 3 different years.
No kidding.
And Larry Boa as a coach, and one of their more famous managers, Ralph Houk.
Wore 50? No. Ralph Houk wore 35 for most of his.
He wore 50 for 1 year.
Right. Do you know who else wore 35 for 1 year?
No.
Yogi Berra.
Oh, okay.
Anyway.
So 50's a great number.
50's a great number.
We're on 50.
And happy semi-centennial to us.
Hot diggity. And I think to celebrate the semi-centennial, we should get a semi-regular guest.
Does that mean he has digestive problems?
or too frequent a guest, one or the other. All right. I think we have to have Manhattan Man. I mean, this has got to be his 1 millionth appearance on the show or close to it.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. So we'll go get Manhattan Man right now, and we're going to talk a little bit about the Olympics.
Probably. Okay. Yeah.
We're going to go talk about the Olympics with Manhattan Man. We're dialing him now. We're halfway through the Olympic fortnight.
Hello.
There he is, the Manhattan Man. Welcome to Countless Screaming Argonauts, 50th episode.
50 episodes and counting.
And counting.
Will the interweb ever be the same?
Well, the problem is we don't know how to count past 50, so we're not going to be sure what we're going to do next week.
We're just going to start over again.
How about, like, edition 2 or something? Volume 2.
There we go. Number...
Version 2.
Version
CSA 2-0, Podcast 2.0.
Z. A1.
Series 2, Volume 1. There we go.
Service Pack 3.
We can start over. Welcome.
So, well, thank you for having me, as always.
We have a bunch of stuff going on here. Do you want to lead us in the fabulous, or?
Sure, absolutely. We're going to talk about the Olympics tonight.
I think I'm going to call you T-Fab.
T-Fab.
I don't get it. Oh,
the Fabulous Penguin, T-Fab.
Oh, okay.
Or T-Fab P.
T-Fab P. Oh, wow. Yeah.
That'll be your...
That is some ethnic shit right there.
Yeah. I think I'll just keep calling you idiot, okay?
Hit number one, just like number 50.
All right, so anyway, so we're halfway through the Olympics, and I was sitting down watching, I don't know, one of the early days of the Olympics, and I got out a little envelope, and I started writing down some Olympic observations, and, you know, I filled the whole envelope, a manila envelope worth of stuff.
Wow.
And I pulled some of the best ones out, and I just wanted to kind of bring them up and see what Max, see what you and Manhattan Man have to say about them. Sound like a plan?
Yeah, so this is the second most momentous writing on an envelope since the Gettysburg Address, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, here's the first one. Do you know that you can't eat dog in China right now? Right up until about 2 or 3 weeks ago, you could still eat dog. You could go into a restaurant and order some dog. But now, if you were planning to it, the Olympic officials, the Chinese officials have banned dog. It was also banned in 1988 when they were in Seoul, South Korea. And I guess my question is where's the diversity? I mean, you can – they showed the woman reporter walking around China eating scorpions and eels and all kinds of other stuff, but you can't have a little puppy on the side? I mean, come on.
Well, are we talking diversity like Great Dane versus Chihuahua?
And, I don't care what you call
Chihuahua,
it.
Chihuahua, is that considered Mexican food?
Oh, man.
What did it take? 55 seconds. There's an old joke. It's I had so much Chinese food over the weekend, I had to have a CAT scan.
Oh, yeah, okay. So we're on the same page here, at least. We understand.
They eat dog. Yeah.
They eat dog all the time. It's a staple.
Right.
You get it at any, you know, at most Chinese restaurants. It's right up there with the dim sum.
Do you know if you can you say, you know, mutt or I mean, I don't know. Like, is Iris Setter any leaner than your average, you know, cow?
How do you say Lasha Opso in Chinese?
That's pretty funny. No, but this is the thing. For me, this is exactly the example of what we're getting because, you know, Meredith Vieira is over there and she's eating the scorpion, the whole thing. I saw that, right? But you're not getting next month's Beijing. You're getting the pretty picture Beijing. The
no-dog
Beijing.
No dogs allowed.
No dogs allowed, Beijing. Well, the no homeless people on the streets, Beijing.
Right. Obviously, we're talking about hypocrisy here. they know we're horrified, so they don't do it, but they do it.
That's great. They got like the little mind chip for what 1.1 billion people or some nonsense, and they go, everybody be cool for about 2 weeks, okay? And still, some nut kills Americans and leaps off the drum tower. What the fuck?
Well,
yeah, you're right.
Yeah, that was certainly too weird.
He didn't get the message.
I guess not.
You must.
That or he found out he couldn't have dog for 2 weeks, and that was it. Somebody was going to pay the price.
Well, you know, Max, you kind of hinted at it, and that was my point about this, about bringing this one up.
Yeah.
You know, they go through, and because they know that we would be upset,
they
take dog off the menu. All right? And I can almost understand that. But I'm pretty upset about their internet censorship, and I'm pretty upset about their political jailings, and I'm pretty upset about Tiananmen Square. So are they going to take those things off the quote-unquote menu for the for the foreseeable future? No, and that's, you're right, that's the hypocrisy of it.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so enough about dogs.
So
I'm writing on the envelope, and I went to your blog, because I knew you couldn't resist writing a little something about the Olympics on your blog, and I was fascinated with your take on competition, who you root for.
Well, I've been captured by these Olympics. I hate to say it because I'm grudgingly wanting to give the Chinese any credit at all, but I wrote a thing about, who do you root for? Obviously, when you're watching the Olympics, typical Americans typically root for the American. For me, the next group that I root for is the Canadians. I know some Canadians. I like Canadians. they live next door. It's like, you root for your neighbors.
Okay.
But when you get down to Suzuki Land versus Kabukistan, do you root for somebody when you're watching, the women's badminton semifinals?
Right. And you do.
I do. I find myself rooting for someone. The next thing I root for, and this proves me to be the chauvinist pig that I am, I root for the cute woman. I think that's somewhat typical. I don't know. Do you root for the cute one? Who do you root for next?
Well, Manhattan Man, who do you root for?
I can't completely distance myself from the Max rooting theory.
Yeah.
But I think I root West first.
Yeah.
Ooh, okay. That's interesting. West versus East.
I will root. I'll root Americas,
yeah.
Europe, Asia.
All right. What do you do when the British are playing the Australians?
I will. Excuse me. I will never root for a Brit in anything.
All right.
If there's two Brits in the final,
yeah,
and one of them's getting gold and one of them's getting silver, I'll turn on MSNBC. I don't want to see it.
All right,
all our British listeners can write to him at manhattanman @gmail.com.
That's right. What do you do when you've got? I think in the 1,000 meter crew skull finals, and I love that the skulls, What do you do when it's the Norwegians versus the Swedes?
That was tough. I was actually watching tennis,
yeah,
and it was Sweden versus Switzerland. What do you do? That is really flipping a coin. But the thing is, to me, the great thing about NBC and the streaming video and the whole online experience is that you can find something. If you find something that you don't like or you can't find a rooting interest in because it's Switzerland and Sweden and you say flip a coin,
yeah.
then go stream some team handball. And you can find, seriously, you can find a rooting interest. You can say, oh, this is the guy who's, his bicycle got crushed or something
right.
stupid. But
right. When they do the human interest stuff, you end up, you know, because there's a lot of human tragedy out there and there are stories of athletes overcoming great trauma. If they weren't the Americans, I would certainly root for the American men's volleyball team after the story about the coach's, you know, mother-in-law and father-in-law being murdered there. That's
right.
Any kind of reason for human sympathy, I think, draws us to them. But sometimes it's just a jamoke against a jamoke. And
well, and that raised my question, Max, and that's why I was fascinated by it, because it's easy to say, well, if it's women's badminton, you root for the cute one. And maybe
right.
we should be asking Denali this question. But what if it's men's badminton? Do you root for the handsome one? And if you do, does that make you
maybe Max wants to finish the statement. I don't know.
Yeah, okay.
He's probably better at that.
What does that make you, Max?
I don't know. You know, I think actually that there is a bias towards good-looking people. If you had some monstrosity out there who had a great badminton serve and Joe movie star
right.
from, you know, East Kabuki,
right.
you'd probably root for the movie star.
Well, I mean, here's the deal. It's the badminton gold medal match,
yeah.
and it's between this Norwegian god,
yeah.
you know, 6'6", broad muscles, blonde hair, the whole bit, and some hairy Canuck from Canada. Are you going to root for the Canadian because he's your neighbor?
Oh, yeah,
or
yeah.
You are?
Oh, sure.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah,
well, that's
what
I wanted to point out. That's what I wanted to find out.
For me in that situation, I'll find myself a lot of times, especially if it's two countries that I am not beholden to or whatever, uh-huh. I'll root for the dog. I mean, Jim
yeah.
Lampley's going to tell me, far and away, the best team handball program is in Croatia. And like, now I'm on Hungary immediately. You know?
That's exactly me. Now, what sport do you not watch? Because I cannot stand to watch tennis in the Olympics. I'll watch it at Wimbledon, but it's something about Olympic tennis that just makes me fidgety.
I like Olympic tennis because people will cheer and they're you know, whatever they're saying, they go sweet.
The rules are different. Sweet. Yeah, the spectator rules are different.
Ding, gong, song, Federer. You're like, yeah, right.
I had some real trouble watching the rowing.
Yeah?
Because, well, you know, I mean, we had a rooting interest because we know somebody who rowed.
There's a guy from West Brookfield, right?
Yes, that's, well, Mrs. Penguin,
yeah.
when she was a librarian at West Brookfield, used to have him sit on her knee while she read
nope.
stories
kidding.
During story hour. Yeah,
Wesley
Piamarini.
Is he done?
Now he's, well, yeah, they finished last and they're out.
Oh. You know, I almost asked what country he rode for.
But here's the problem.
The ugly one, Max. The ugly one. So don't worry. You didn't miss anything.
The problem is that it's such a boring sport. I mean, you know, you can focus on the skulls for about a minute and a half, and then after that, they're just sticks in the water.
No, I think it's just the opposite. I think it's highly tense. You see the things. With every stroke, they go a little bit forward, and then it seems like in one camera angle, they go actually a little bit backward.
Right. One step forward, two steps forward, one step back. A real good way to win a race.
Well, everybody else is doing the same thing.
Right.
And they have a really fancy word for loser's bracket, right?
Yeah.
Oh, they're going to make it into the repargé.
Oh, right.
Right?
That would be...
Only today
first
was
place.
I able to figure out the difference between repressage and drussage.
I want everybody in that heat to hold up the L on their forehead right before the race, because that's really what we're talking about here, right? Can you imagine Ian Crocker and those guys? Hey, how about another heat for the 100 fly for everybody with an L on their forehead? I got my ass kicked by Michael Phelps, but don't I get a heat? Oh, because I don't have a paddle?
And you know what? We could take a picture of it like the... like the basketball team with the slanted eye thing, then we could have some other controversy.
Yeah.
What was that about?
That was a publicity photo
going to China
that was taken.
For looking like Chinese.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
but you know what? The official comment from the Chinese were, hey, they apologized. We don't get so worked up about politically correct things over here.
Well, that's exactly what I heard, that several countries said that they just don't get too worked up about political correctness.
And I think that's a great thing.
They meant it, and that was it.
My big passion these days is that we are too worried about somebody saying something stupid. And there were 15 people all doing something stupid, but in the end, no one was physically harmed.
But Max, if we were so worried about saying something stupid, would we be doing this podcast?
We couldn't possibly do this podcast.
Why was I not surprised to hear him say, I don't really give a shit, you know?
What do you think about the boxing?
I have a problem with boxing in the Olympics because the scoring seems like even worse than when you're in Vegas.
Right, right. That's exactly my point. The Olympic boxing, which I always like to watch the Olympic boxing, which is interesting because I can't stand to watch Olympic wrestling either. It's something.
Well, let's be clear. Are we referring to Greco-Roman or freestyle?
We're talking WWF, baby.
Oh well, I don't deal with WWF because
mixed martial arts. There's a good thing for the American youth.
Yeah, but anyway, I like boxing. I don't know. It's just my dad was a boxing fan. Whatever. I've always enjoyed watching boxing, and this boxing is really terrible. These guys are tagging each other for 3 minutes or 2 minutes, whatever it is, and then you know the score is 2-1, and you're like, you know, come on. The scoring has to be three people. There's five judges. Three of them have to click their button that it is exactly a punch within 1 second of each other, or it doesn't count. So what they've done is they've taken the judge's responsibility for their judging and made it anonymous. I was watching Teddy Atlas talking about this, and it's just a bunch of crap now. You don't know. I mean, the boxers are doing the boxing, but this judging system is just terrible.
I don't know if it's crap, Max, because the problem stems from the fact that the judging was so bad, and it was so clear that it was one judge from one country who had a national bias that they did the anonymity and the group judging to try and take some of that away. It's very, very difficult to go to points. Your problem, I think, is you either have to put the other guy on his ass or you have a tie.
Yeah.
And that's the fundamental flaw. So it has to be judged, and I think it has to be judged by humans. So they're doing, I don't know if they're doing the best they can, but they're doing the best with what they've come up with so far.
Yeah, couple of Olympics ago, they had a totally opposite system where every punch that any judge saw was scored, and the rounds were like 50 to 40. And
right,
people were
the problem was that one judge would say, yeah, I saw 17 punches land that round, and they go back and look at the tape, and the guy didn't even throw 17 punches.
Plus, in the old version, you could any touch by the white part of the glove was considered a punch. The weird thing is now they say that the velocity of the punch makes no difference. A punch is a punch, which is also a bunch of crap because you can hit somebody really hard and stagger them. And in American judging, they go, oh, you hit them really hard.
Yeah. Two quick observations. One, Olympic boxing is no more a sport than tiddlywinks, number one, because of the judges. The second thing is that, you know, the easiest way to fix it is just change the rules. They change the rules all the time in the Olympics. You know, make it so that if after three rounds, if the guy hasn't been knocked down, you have to fight with one hand. You know, tie one hand behind your back, or you have to hop on one foot, or you got to tie your shoelaces together so that you can't run around the ring anymore. Change the rules, that's all.
Water polo yet? That's another sport I really enjoy watching.
I saw some water polo today, as a matter of fact. And
I have seen several water polo matches.
My favorite comment is the fact that, you know, that somebody invariably says, if you think it's rough above the water, you should see what's happening below the water. And very rarely do they go to the below the underwater cameras during during water polo games, because guys are...
Which is weird, because we've seen more of Michael Phelps upside down from submerged than above.
We had to get into Michael Phelps here.
Who?
Michael Phelps. He's amazing. Did you see the last? I think it was the butterfly.
The 100th of a second. Yeah.
And just the decision. I mean, I know it's a split second, but to go for one more round of whatever it is you call swinging your arms while you're swimming.
Stroke.
And it paid off. I almost had a stroke watching him.
How could he not get stroke, Penguin? How is he so far?
I don't know. He's probably still thinking about the women badminton players.
Which would get you back to Manhattan Man's point.
Right.
Have you seen the Brazilian beach volleyball team?
No.
I did. What's your favorite part? The fact that they're on their uniform, right on the top, it says BRA, B-R-A?
Yeah.
Just in case you didn't know. Which makes me think of the women's beach volleyball game between the Russians and the Georgians. Did anybody see that one?
No, I didn't see
it. It was a little politically charged, huh?
Yeah, I saw the end of it. Obviously, here's a clear example. I'm rooting for the Georgians. And the Russians it's neck and neck. It's one game to one game, and they're in like the overtime, and I couldn't have leaned into my television anymore. I was so rooting for those women from Georgia, and they came from behind and they won, and it just made you feel good.
Well, listen, let's backtrack. We brought up Michael Phelps, and that was one of my observations, and that is do all the gold medals that he won mean that he's the greatest athlete?
Oh, we're going to get into that, huh?
Right. Well, I mean, you know, we should. He's won 8 gold medals. He has a chance to win number 9 tonight. He's won 7. He has a chance to win number 8 tonight. No one's ever done that. He will have, if he wins tonight, what's he going to have, 14, 15, 14 gold medals all told? Is that the greatest? Is he the greatest Olympic athlete of all times? Is he the greatest athlete of all times?
Well, I think he's clearly the greatest Olympic athlete of all times.
I don't know about that either. He is the most prolific medal-winning swimmer in the history of the games.
All right. Well, that's unarguable.
He is a fantastic athlete and a hell of a swimmer. But
you think it's like?
And by the way, did you hear Chad Johnson? Chad Johnson said he could beat him.
Yeah, I did.
That was the last time I paid attention to what Chad Johnson said.
And he said a number of people from the hood, where
from his hood, could beat him.
They just haven't had the opportunity to really get to the Olympics, but they could beat Michael Phelps, and he could as well. But we have this argument every time a golf major comes around. Is Tiger the best athlete ever? You know,
right.
I mean, for a while, this discussion was about Dan and. Who was the other guy? Dan Johnson, right?
Dan and Dave, right.
The decathletes, because
although
it was track and field, they did several different things. They have to throw with accuracy. They have to throw for weight. They have to hurdle. They have to sprint. They have to run distance.
Right.
So,
yeah, typically the decathlete has been called the world's greatest athlete.
Right, but they don't have to win each event. They could finish last in the 800-meter run as long as they've done really, really well in the javelin or the hurdles.
If they've built up enough points. I think the decathletes are doing different and more varied things than simply the difference between freestyle and butterfly.
All right, well, that's fair enough. It's clearly apples and oranges, and there really is no point in saying who is the greatest athlete. You can't argue with the fact that Michael Phelps has won more gold in the Olympics than anyone else.
Right. No, you can't. But see, now this is the discussion I was having with Boothboy.
Yeah.
Okay. In whatever, 1968, Jean-Claude Keeley won all 3 skiing events.
Yeah.
There were only 3 skiing events. He won all 3 of them. Michael Phelps is going to win 8 gold medals, but he's not winning every single gold medal in all the swimming events. He doesn't swim all the events. He doesn't do all the other swimming things. So how can you say that he's a greater Olympic athlete than Jean-Claude Keeley if Keeley won everything that year?
Because Keeley got to use gravity. No, it's a fruitless argument. It's apples and oranges.
and the thing is, the swimmer is going to be geared to the opportunity. I don't know who Michael Phelps is 4 years from now. It may well be Michael Phelps again. I don't know. But the way that swimming is set up over the course of a two-week sporting festival, you can do that. You can win eight times, including relays.
Right.
But I don't think you can do that in Greco-Roman wrestling. I don't know how there would be eight different disciplines, but you can't. And he is a fine, fine swimmer. He's amazing. He's done very well, and he's going to make a couple of bucks. But is he the greatest athlete ever? No, I don't think so.
All right. Well, that's fair. But his event is his event, and he's only done the best that is possible. So, you know, was Babe Ruth the greatest athlete of all time? Well, in 1923, he hit more home runs than any other team. He did his thing way better than anybody else did it. It's still apples and oranges.
I don't think anybody ever suggested that Babe Ruth was the best athlete ever, though. I don't think... I mean, he was phenomenal at what he did and everything, but I don't think... I mean,
I heard it on morning TV the other day.
Was he the greatest athlete?
In the same sentence with Michael Phelps. It wasn't me that brought it up. But, yeah, obviously Babe Ruth had a big fat belly. He wasn't very athletic at all. But he was an incomparable baseball player and meant more to his sport than any athlete had before, and arguably than any athlete has since.
Tiger.
Well, Tiger's certainly a case to be made for Tiger, meaning more to his sport than anyone in any other sport has to theirs. Absolutely a legitimate argument. It's not an argument you can resolve.
Okay. So then let's move on. You ready?
I want to talk about gymnastics.
All right, well, that's where I'm headed, because this is what I wrote down. I'm going to read exactly what I wrote down on my envelope on Tuesday night.
All right?
Is there anything as insincere as a gymnast hug? I cannot believe that those girls hug each other so insincerely. I mean, you watch the swimmers. I mean, they're hugging each other in the pool before they climb out. They hug their opponents. They hug this, they hug that. These girls, I mean, the looks on their faces, if looks could kill, their opponents would be dropping like flies. I mean, even
well,
the NHL.
And they put them right next to each other and make them stand around while somebody else is on the apparatus.
Right, I know.
Did you happen to catch a little side note that Dara Torres in, I think it was last night's?
Yes, I did see her.
Race where she sort of halted the proceedings because one of the swimmers was in the locker room with a torn suit.
Yep. She
turned into like her motherly instincts took over. She's 41. She's a mom. She said, "I got to help the girl with her suit."
Yeah.
I'll tell you one thing. Within the last 2 weeks, that was more insincere, and that was the heartfelt global handshake from Putin to Bush when Putin, in the back of his mind, said, "Hey, love the opening ceremonies. Good luck against China in that opening game. I got to go invade Georgia." What the fuck? I mean.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. That might have been a little bit more insincere.
Yeah.
But only a little bit.
Love you. And that Jenna, she looks great, George.
So, Max, go ahead. Talk about the gymnast.
Well,
pre-vert you.
I had a problem because I'm watching the quote-unquote women's gymnastics, and there's all these little girls. And, of course, first of all, the Chinese girls looked like and turned out to be younger than the legally allowed age, which is 16, the minimum age that you can be. One girl was 13.
Right.
Of course, a friend of mine said...
The IOC is not going to do a thing about it because they've got no balls. I said that 2 weeks ago.
Right, right.
When I
but
said
on the
that
other the hand,
sanctioned
the girl
China for
the
some
routine,
of the other stuff.
She busted her ass, and she beat the girls that were older, so there's a case to be made, so what? But as ever, I've fallen in love with one of the little gymnasts, and it turns out I was relieved to find out that the girl is actually a college student. It's Alicia Sacramone. I felt really bad when I found out that she fell off the beam. I didn't watch it live, but I saw a replay of it, and first of all, it just amazes me that they can do a forward somersault up 4 feet onto a 4-inch beam. But
or flip 3 times and land on the 4-inch beam each of the 3 times.
Yeah. Do you know, I remember when there were no, what do you call them, disconnect moves on either the parallel bars or the balance beam. They've really taken a lot of risks. It's a lot more dramatic than it used to be. But anyway, I saw this girl and I thought, oh, God, she's cute. I hate myself. And then it turns out she's going to Brown University, so right. I didn't feel quite so bad. At least she was a grown-up.
Well, despite what Research Girl will say when she hears this, I'm going to say it anyway. They are phenomenal athletes. They are wonderful competitors, but it ain't a sport.
No, but wow. But you can't stop watching them. It's my dad won't even watch it because it's too stressful. He gets him freaked out. Because you're afraid they're going to get hurt. There's these little bodies flying all around. And you remember Carrie Strug from a couple of Olympics ago with her broken ankle, you know, right. Barely hanging on by a piece of skin. And she's flipping through the air. And you're like, who let her do that?
Walking both ways uphill to the,
right.
to the balance beam.
Bela Karoly's the Antichrist. I mean, we know that.
But that's another point. Do you see him on the TV with Bob Costas? Did you ask why he's not there coaching the team?
Retired and he hated the politics.
I think there was an action against him.
Not that would disallow him from coaching.
Is that right?
I think the fact of Baylor's matter is that Baylor's making more money as a consultant than he would ever make as a coach at USA Gymnastics or any other country.
It is fun to watch him watch the
game.
He's
always been a very, very vocal anti-political.
I thought his problem was that he got too rough with one of the kids. Maybe I shouldn't say that out loud. That's what I thought was my memory of it, but maybe I'm wrong about that.
They never did name Bobby Knight basketball for Team USA, did they?
No.
Nope. I didn't actually know whether – didn't he coach the American basketball team one time?
No, I don't believe so, no.
I didn't know that. But, you know, he's not going to beat up LeBron James, but right. Bela Karoly could – pop the
but he's to beat up those high school and college kids all the time.
Yeah, well, he is a dickhead, but that's another story.
All right,
what
back
else
to
the envelope, Penguin.
Back to the envelope. I got another one. All right, you ready for this one? Do you think that we can send somebody over to the Olympics to act as a consultant to teach some of those teams how to high five? You got to be kidding me! These athletes, they look like they're on drugs or they have the coordination of I don't know what. I mean, they're 20 years behind and they're high-fiving.
Yeah,
absolutely. You can throw a triple salchow, but you can't hit your buddy high, you know? It's like
that's ridiculous.
And high-fiving itself is 20 years behind. You think at the next Olympics they're going to come up with knuckle bumping?
Well, actually, I saw American diving coaches fist bump today.
Yeah. Were they terrorists?
But the coaches are doing it.
Maybe they'll pick it up in 4 years from now. You know, when the black people in this country have come up with another cool way to greet each other, and the white people have followed it, then they'll pick it
up. Wouldn't you love to see Gao Jing Jing fist bump Ming Zhao Ha? I mean, that would be great. Look at that. They're right there.
Cool, yeah.
Ying Yuan Yuan or whatever her name was. Yeah, that would be.
You know that one of the favorites in and I think it's men's trampoline, and I mean it's out there. The guy's name is Dong Dong, and he's not a favorite in like porn star. He's just
wait. How do the Chinese figure out what their porn star name is? If your name is Dong Dong, you know.
You pretty much got to stay with it.
You got to stick with it. I think you're right.
Listen, our time is running short, but I do want to kind of throw out at least one or two more.
All right.
What about that wrestler who tosses medal on the ground because he was pissed off and they DQ'd him?
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't see the circumstance.
I would simply point out that is not in the Olympic spirit. Pierre de Coubertin didn't have that in mind back there.
Right.
Did you see the woman, I think it was a Brit, who got in and won a silver in one of the swimming events because she finished ninth in her heat, but the Chinese woman was DQ'd.
Yes. Tippett. Is that her name?
Yeah, something like that. Tippett.
And then she
Libby Trickett is an Aussie, but anyway, go on.
All right.
And,
well,
then she finished second in the event.
So, who do you root for between the Aussies and the New Zealanders?
Oh, be careful.
All right. NBC cameras are way too invasive. Yeah. I think when they're sticking their camera in when the gymnastics team is having a huddle and they're trying to psych themselves up, you know, give them a minute.
I don't know.
I think that that's access that we deserve because we have to look at 37 Advil commercials between now and 11 o'clock. I'm serious.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's the truth. But the thing that got me was they were so interested in getting a look on a gymnast's face who had fallen.
Yeah.
And they were waiting for her to cry.
And all the freaking Americans in the first round fell down.
Right. But they're waiting for this girl to cry. And in the background, there's a male Chinese gymnast, and he's changing. He takes off his shorts. He's standing there in his underwear, and he puts on the long thing that he's going to wear on the high bar. I mean, you know, enough is enough. I mean, you know, we don't have to stick it in the guy's face. And then they had the guy, the man
who
didn't make the team.
Don't they have some modest place where you can take your pants off?
Not in between. When you're going from one event to the next, you got to get ready and get over there right away. And that's what this guy was doing. He was getting
ready to
get over
there. They're willing to save our feelings about the dogs in the restaurant, but they're going to change right there in front of the ladies.
Well, that wasn't the
Chinese
fault. That wasn't a Chinese fault. That was the camera fault. The camera shouldn't have been there stuck in the face of the girl. Let the girl have her private moment after she fell and be over with it, and let's go on to the next thing.
Well, I think so, but I also think they can make a changing area out of the range of the cameras, too. I don't want to see dong, dongs, dong.
But you don't mind seeing the Brazilian – you don't mind seeing the Brazilian –
I don't mind seeing the bra, no.
The Brazilian's bra, no, of course not.
No, well, they can change in front of the camera if they want. No, I don't know.
That's what Booth Boy said. He said they want to strip down naked and play that way. That's okay with him.
No, well, that's the traditional Greek way, right?
Right.
That's right.
And listen, one more. And this one, I should probably focus to Denali. Maybe I'll ask him next time he comes on. I can understand you giving the women who win an Olympic medal flowers, but you got to give them to the guys too. I mean, you know, there's nothing worse than seeing a shot putter. This guy is 6 foot nothing and 300 pounds, and he's muscles on muscles, and he's going to stand on the Olympic stand holding this little bouquet of flowers. I'm sorry, you know, that's got to be against the man law. Cut up your man law card.
It's probably against man law, but, you know, maybe he likes pressed flowers. Maybe he's going to go home and put them in his Bible, and 20 years from now he's going to look at these flowers and say, oh, remember when.
That'd be great if they walked up to Michael Phelps, they put the medal on, and then the other guy in the suit walked over and gave him a Qingdao. Then give him a beer. That'd be great.
Now we're talking. I mean, at least, you know, you might hate the French, but at least in the Tour de France, they give the guy a bottle of champagne when he wins one of the races.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't put flowers in his hand. Come on.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned the decathlon. I'm looking forward to that. I'd forgotten about that. The track and field events are coming up, and we're going to enjoy this next week.
Manhattan Man, as always, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me, gentlemen. Congratulations on 50. And, you know, as they say, here's to many more, 50 more. Next 50 will be even more fun.
And that'll be next.
I don't know if you've had a chance to listen to any of the most recent ones, but I always mention at the top of the program that I'm the Fabulous Penguin, and I thank you for that moniker.
Well, you deserve it. Thanks a lot.
T-Fab-P.
Good night, Jen.
Good night, Penguin.
Good night.
I'm a little glowing friend, but really I'm not actually your friend, but I am. There's a picture opposite me of my primitive ancestry, which stood on rocky shores and kept the beaches shipwreck free. Though I respect that a lot, I'd be fired if that were my job. After killing Jason off and countless screaming Argonauts, new bird of friendliness, like guardian angels, it's always near. New canary in the outlet by the light switch, who watches over you? Make a little birdhouse in your soul, not to put too fine upon us. not to put too fine a point on it. Say I'm the only bee in your bonnet. Make a little birdhouse in your soul. And while you're at it, keep the sunlight on inside the birdhouse in your soul. Not to put too fine a point on it. Say I'm the only bee in your bonnet. Make a little birdhouse in your soul. And while you're at it, keep the sunlight on inside the birdhouse in your soul. Not to put